So tonight, once again, we're going to talk about prayer. We started looking at prayer just a couple of weeks ago, and we talked about the theological side, why we are to pray, and we looked at the Lord's Prayer, how we are to pray. But I want us to just think about practically tonight, maybe some ways to help us cultivate our prayer life and how to grow our prayer life. And again, it's going to be pretty practical tonight. But we'll begin with the verse that's on the top of your sheet, Colossians 4, verse 2. It says this: devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of verses we could turn in our scriptures to encourage us to pray. But here Paul, writing to these Colossian believers, he's telling them to be devoted to prayer. And it's you can't really skirt around that command. To be devoted. We're devoted to a lot of things in life, and that's admirable. But are we devoted to prayer? And how can we, as Christians, be devoted to prayer? So let's talk about some ways. Again, 2 weeks ago, we looked at reasons why biblically to pray, but here's some ways that we might can grow and be devoted in our prayer life. One is, it's on your sheet, cultivate a habit of prayer, plan your prayer time. And it's the first one is to keep a prayer journal. Let me also say up front, I do not necessarily do all of these things. These are just different things that I have picked up throughout the years that I have found helpful for myself. And I've heard other believers have found it helpful as well. So, but the first one is a prayer journal. You take a blank notebook and write out your prayers. That slows it down. It helps you to think through those things. You can pray, and you can write them out for your family members, for your church family, for different things going on. One of the benefits of a prayer journal is that you can go back to it. And you can look, if you date it and keep up with it, you can look and see how the Lord answered those prayers. I confess at this point, I do not keep a prayer journal every day. I have in the past, but that is a good, useful tool to help you be devoted to do that. And I think it's a good thing. Another one is a prayer cards or lists. You can, it's very similar to a prayer journal, but I've got a pastor friend right in the front of his Bible. He's got 7 days, and he has different things that he prays for each day of the week. And that would include different pastors, different churches, different friends, his own family members. And he just rotates every week. And so each of his prayer-specific prayer times are going to be a little different every day for different people. And you can do it that way. I think that's a helpful thing. Once again, it gets you thinking and gets your thoughts on paper to pray for certain people and certain things. Another one is, here's two resources to help us, because oftentimes we can be guilty of praying for our inner circle. We can pray for ourselves and our family and maybe a few people in our church family, but we as Christians ought to be people of the nations and to pray for the nations. But that can be daunting to think about, okay, how am I to pray for God's mission work throughout the world? One of the ways is, this is a book called Operation World. I don't know if you've heard of it or not. It goes through every country in the world. So here is Fiji, and it will tell you about their geography, their people, challenges to prayer, some of the work that missionaries have done in the past. Is a really good resource. It goes through each country. The only downside of this is that it's a book. It's a physical book, and it can get outdated after a while. So this is the most recent edition, and it's about 10 or 12 years old at this point. So, but it still is beneficial to know what's happening and what has been happening in the world. But right beside that, there's another one. This is an app that you can get on your phone called the Joshua Project. And this is a group of missionaries who have compiled together data about different people groups around the world. And they update it on a regular basis on those who are more reached with the gospel and those who are less reached. And they'll talk about the mission work there. It'll talk about the persecution there. It gives you all kinds of different things to know about these different people groups and within different nations and countries, and it gives you specific ways to pray for them and to help you to pray for them in specific ways. I find that Both of those have been really helpful in my own prayer life, praying for others. Another one is praying from using missionary cards. You know, we have, and you have had in your own life, opportunities to meet different missionaries. And it's a good thing to have those missionary cards to look at on your fridge or in your Bible or in a book to be able to consider and to pray, remember to pray for those families. One of the difficulties about missionaries is they move and they leave the country, literally. And as often as we don't like to think about it, but it's people are out of sight and they're out of mind. And that happens, and that can happen for missionaries as well. And we can continue to move on with our lives, and they're living their lives. And so these cards can be a good reminder to pray for them. A last one is, when we think about cultivating a habit, is redeeming the time. So this is thinking about praying. When we think about, we're all busy. We all hit the ground running in the mornings. I know a couple of men in here who hit the ground running before the sun comes up. And they work and work and work really hard. And so time can escape us if we're not careful. And so there is built-in time throughout the day to pray when we are driving and when we're riding on the tractors and when we're by ourselves, when we are brushing our teeth. There's plenty of different times throughout the day. If you think about it, there are moments that are quiet moments for us to pray and for us to pray for others. I had a pastor friend that used to do that. I said that about brushing his teeth or brushing your teeth. He would do that. He had sticky notes on his mirror. And every morning and every evening, he had specific things he would pray for while he's brushing his teeth. And I think it's pretty creative. But as good as I think that is to be able to pray while you're doing things, we also see that in Scripture, Jesus went alone to pray. And he would carve out time specifically to just do nothing but pray. A lot of times I find myself, I'm guilty of praying a lot on the go like that, driving and doing different things. But there's something about just being still before God and just praying. And that takes discipline. That takes making it a habit and doing it that way. Here's another way I think we can cultivate prayer and the habit of prayer in our lives is praying with others. You know, it is a good thing to pray by ourselves. I think that's a wonderful thing. But to pray with others, that really does, it should, as believers, encourage our souls. I grew up and in my house, we did not do this throughout my entire life. But when I reached a certain age, my parents became believers and they were baptized, and we prayed every night together before we went to bed for years. My dad said, before everybody goes off on your own way, let's sit down and let's pray together. And that really impacted me. And that's something that I'm not perfect at it. I strive to do that with Stacy and strive to do that now with Stacy and Wren. There's something sweet about being able to just slow down at the end of the day and pray together. Now, you can do that in the mornings, you can do that at lunchtime, you can do that throughout the other times of the day, but praying with your family, I think, is a significant thing. You pray for them, but also to pray with them, I think, is important. And then you also have praying with church members. You know, we have a lot of time for public prayer at our church. We have it in our services, we have it in Sunday school, but to slow down and to just gather together to pray, I think, is a wonderful thing. We do that every Sunday morning in the Gaddy room back there. A few of the men before Sunday school gather to pray, and that's a sweet time together. And then the first Monday of every month, the men gather, and sometimes we invite others to come as well and to just pray and to just make our requests known to one another. That's a sweet way, I think, to cultivate a prayer life as well, to be encouraged to pray with one another. And then that also, you have that next point, is I learn a lot about how to pray by listening to others pray. It's caught and not necessarily just taught. And you can hear how people pray, and you can be encouraged that way and hear their own heart for the Lord, their own heart for the gospel, their own heart for the sick. And you can hear it that way. And you can learn from others by listening to the prayers of others. So those are just some very practical things that I think are helpful. Let me give you the most practical thing that I have found personally in my life to cultivate a prayer life, and it is, from this book, Praying the Bible. So that's what I want us to think through for the remainder of our time tonight, is what it means to pray the Bible. Well, it begins, first of all, with the discipline of reading Scripture. We talked about that. We spent several weeks on the importance of Bible intake, of hearing the Word publicly proclaimed, but also to read it as individual believers. You cannot pray the Bible if you don't read and open and know the Bible. So it starts there. It starts with reading God's Word and reading it as God has intended the meaning to be extended to us, for us to know what He means in His Word and the context, and studying it. But oftentimes, we can study the Word of God and just leave it there. But I think there's a beautiful thing about the marriage of the Bible, reading the Bible, and praying. That it doesn't, they're not separate things. That we go from that to prayer. And you have on your sheet right below that is, I think, a bridge between prayer and Bible reading is meditation. So we talked about that several different times. So just a reminder what meditation is. Donald Whitney says it's a deep thinking on the truths and the spiritual realities revealed in Scripture, or upon a life from a scriptural perspective for the purpose of understanding, application, and prayer. So basically, that's what Psalm 1, Joshua 1:8 talks about, taking the Word of God and turning it over in your head, in your heart, in your mind, and then taking that Word and praying it back to the Lord. So I think that that is a vital thing for the Christian life. So how do we take our Bible reading and turn that into prayer? Scripture is full of God's Word, obviously. It is God's Word. But where do we turn for that? You can go anywhere in Scripture, but I find that two places are most helpful. One are the prayers of others, and two are the Psalms. So first you have here are some, just some, of the prayers of saints of old throughout the Bible. You have Hannah's prayer after the Lord graciously gave her a son, Samuel. And what does she do? She praises the Lord and offers this beautiful prayer to the Lord. And so if you're thinking about, it's November, Thanksgiving season, here's a wonderful prayer to go and to bless the Lord's name for His grace and mercy and kindness to each of us. The next several, Ezra, Nehemiah, Job, Jonah, these are prayers of confession. Ezra and Nehemiah are public confessions, prayers for Israel. There is often times where we need to think about a group confession. We need to recognize our sinfulness before God as a whole and not just as individuals, and we think about it that way, and these help us in that. Ezra and Nehemiah, Ezra's prayer comes after God's people have been graciously brought back into the land, and then all of a sudden they've rebuilt the temple, they've rebuilt the walls, they're worshiping the Lord, and all of a sudden what do? They do exactly the same thing that got them exiled in the first place. They went and they married the foreign wives, the foreign people that were going to turn their hearts right back to idols rather than to God. And they committed these sins that got them in the same place. And Ezra is undone. He is broken before the Lord. Nehemiah also feels that as well. And so if you're looking for a confession, if you're thinking, how do I confess my sin to the Lord? Some of these passages help us to do that. Job's prayer. This is at the end of the book of Job, where Job has wrestled with the sovereignty of God. He's wrestled with, is God fair? And wrestled with all these things. And what does he do? He says, I recognize who you are, Lord, and I repent. I confess and I repent of my sin before you. Jonah was prideful. Jonah did not obey the Lord. He found himself an inch from death. And there in the belly of the well, he prays a wonderful prayer. And records right at the end of that God is the God of salvation. Salvation comes from the Lord. And then you have, we've looked at this a few weeks ago, the Lord's Prayer, Jesus' own prayer for us, the how we are to pray. There's a good place to start. John 17, we spent 3 weeks on a Sunday morning, on different Sunday mornings, looking at this high priestly prayer, thinking about, okay, how could we incorporate this in our own prayer life? And then you have Paul's prayers. And again, these are not exhaustive. These are just a few of them. I find these most helpful when I'm looking, how can I pray for our church family? How can I pray for us to grow in the Lord and grow in Christ? Let me just give you an example. We preached through this passage a couple months ago. Mark and I did for revival back in September in Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. Paul says this, I pray that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and discernment. Okay, if we don't know what to pray for our brothers and sisters here at the church, go to one of the prayers of Paul and say, Lord, I pray that our love for one another would grow. Our love for you would grow, our love for each other would grow, that we would be united together, and it would be based out of the knowledge of who you are in your word. He continues, verse 10, so that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ. We pray that we would be able to have wisdom that's from God and that we would pursue those things that are good and holy and excellent and do so until the day of Christ, all the days of our life until we die or Christ returns. And then he says in verse 11, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness, how often do we pray for one another to be righteous, to be holy, to put to death sin and to put on holiness and to grow in the Lord? That would be a wonderful prayer for our congregation. And then he says how that comes, which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. And it's a reminder of the gospel that we pray for those things, but it only happens because of who Jesus is. And so just going through some of these prayers, these scriptures, can really enrich, I believe, your own prayer life. And so let me stop there before we look at actually praying through the Psalms and tell you why I think that that's the most helpful. It's because, again, in this book by Donald Whitney about praying the Bible, he says this, I maintain that people, truly born again, genuinely Christian people, often do not pray simply because they do not feel like it. And the reason they do not feel like praying is that when they do pray, they tend to say the same old things about the same old things. And he'll continue to go through this book and say that at times that can make you feel like a spiritual failure because you give up on prayer because your prayer life, and I hate to say it this way, can seem stale and stagnant and boring because you just pray the same way for the same thing. And so he's going to argue that when you turn to Scripture, it enriches, it enhances, it opens up a new world literally for your prayer life and gives you new language to pray, gives you new avenues to pray for yourself, to pray for the church, to pray for one another. And so I think praying the Scriptures helps us a lot. Jesus often, and I've said this, but it's worth saying again, Jesus tells us to pray in His name. If you pray in according to His will, He will answer those prayers. Ask and it shall be given unto you. But again, if we don't know the Word of God, we don't know the mind and the heart of God, and we can't pray according to His will. And so praying Scripture, I do truly believe, helps us to be able to know the will of God, and it also helps us to grow in our own prayer lives and our own prayer lives together. So what I want us to do for a few moments is this. I want to show you, and I've tried to demonstrate this last year on Wednesday nights when we start with a psalm. We have a specific scripture reading, and I pray through either a theme of that psalm or some of the lines of that psalm. I try to do that on Sunday morning when we have our different prayer times, and Matt does that as well for our call to worship, read a passage and then pray through some of those themes. So I want to demonstrate what that looks like through Psalm 121. This is on the back of your sheet. just showing you what it is I'm looking for when I do this. It doesn't mean I'm perfect at it, but just to show you. And then I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that yourselves with Psalm 23 in just a few moments. So, but let's look at Psalm 121, and I'm going to read the whole of the psalm because there's one word in here, at least in my translation, that comes up over and over that helps to guide, I think, our time when we pray this to the Lord. It says this, Psalm 121, I will lift my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is the shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. This is a beautiful psalm, a favorite psalm for many. And so if we're going to walk through this, if we were to pray this, if I was going to pray through this psalm, I would begin, and you look at verse 1. And again, it helps to know a little bit about maybe what's happening in the psalm, but this is the Israelites on a journey going to and from Jerusalem to worship during the different times of the year. And so they're traveling, they're pilgrims, if you will, traveling along the way. And along the way, they find themselves there in the mountains. Now, I was just in the mountains last week for a couple of days, and it was beautiful. The leaves were changing, and it was wonderful. Here, when they say, I lift my eyes to the mountains, where shall my help come from? This is not them thinking about, this is the beautiful mountains in Gatlinburg. These are dangerous mountains. There's predators, there's animals, there are robbers there around. And so they're feeling somewhat terrified and fearful. So they say, I lift my eyes to the mountains, where's my help going to come from? And so it says in verse 2, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And so for praying this, we could pray that, Lord, we look around and there are dangers all about us. There are suffering, there's persecution, there are enemies, there are all kinds of things in this world that can cause our hearts to be fearful. I don't know about you, but my heart can tend to be very fearful day after day after day living in this world. And verse 2 says, my help comes from the Lord. He's the sovereign creator of all things. And so therefore, if he has created all things, then we can put our trust and hope in him. And so we can pray, Lord, help me when I have a fearful heart, an anxious heart, a heart that maybe even doubts at times, to remember who you are, the one true living God, that you've made heaven and earth. We thank you that you are the creator. We thank you that we can know you as the creation, and that we can know you in Christ as our Savior. He continues in verse 3, he will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. That word keeps right there shows up 1, 2, 3, 4 times in the English and 2 other times in verses 7 and 8. That same word in the original language comes up. And this is a reminder that God protects and keeps his own. He guards them. He will see them till the end. At least spiritually, we know that. It doesn't always mean physically that we are going to go in this world without harm and suffering, but God ultimately will keep us spiritually. And so verse 3, he will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you, this is the part right here, does not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Praise the Lord that God doesn't take a day off. He doesn't need a nap. He doesn't need to go to bed at night. He is always, he's omniscient. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He always knows what's happening in this world. Nothing catches God by surprise. And we could pray that, Lord, thank you that you know all things. And that when we wake up tomorrow, whatever happens, we don't have a clue what's going to happen. Today, I got a call from my brother about 3 o'clock. I don't normally get a call at 3 o'clock from my brother, so I knew something was going on. And he was going through a red light, and someone ran a red light and hit him on the back of the car. 2 weeks ago, my dad got in a wreck the same way, and my sister also got in a wreck. So that's three of them in about 3.5 weeks. I have no idea what they're doing, what's going on, but they all wrecked, and they did not plan that. But God was not surprised by those things, right? And so we have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow, so we can pray, Lord, thank you that you don't slumber, you don't sleep, that you know what awaits us for tomorrow. Help us to trust in you for that. Continuing in verse 5, the Lord is your keeper. He's the shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. Lord, we thank you. We can pray, Lord, we thank you that you refresh us, that you restore us, as Psalm 23 says, that like the shade in the midst of a hot summer day, that he would refresh us each and every day by his word and through Christ. And then verse 6, the sun will not smite us by day, nor the moon by night. Whatever dangers we will face, we don't have to be afraid because of who the Lord is. He is with us. It says in verse 7, the Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. That's the heart of this, that God will keep us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. And so we can pray, Lord, whatever we face tomorrow, evil, temptation of sin, opposition from the world, whatever we face, suffering, affliction, we know that ultimately that those who are in Christ, you will keep us until the end. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you that you've promised to save us. You've made a covenant in Christ to keep us always. And then verse 8, the Lord will guard your going out, your coming in from this time forth and forever. And so we can pray, Lord, we thank you that you forever will be our God and we will be your people because of who Jesus is, because of our faith in the Lord, and you will keep our souls forever. And you can pray it that way. You could even take this passage and go back through this and pray this for your family members. Lord, I pray that you would keep my husband's soul. Pray that you would keep my wife's soul, that you would protect them from evil, protect them from the evil one, protect them from sin and temptation. Help them not to be afraid, whatever they've got going on. Help our church family to do this. You can take and extend this and pray through this in many different ways for different people. And really, in all reality, you start doing this, and this is just one of 150 Psalms that really begin to, I think, give new language to our own prayer lives. Donald Whitney argues that the Psalms are the best place to do this. Not that you can't do this with the rest of Scripture, but the Psalms originally were songs written by the Israelites, inspired by the Spirit to give praise to the Lord. And a lot of them are written with a heart of prayer behind them. And so that's why they're easier in some ways to pray to the Lord. You have 150 of them. You have plenty of them to pick from and to go through. But you begin to do that, and you do one a day. That takes you twice a year, basically, through the Psalms. And wow, that would really help our own prayer lives. So this is what I want to do for the next few minutes while we have a few more minutes. I want us to turn to Psalm 23. You can turn in your Bible or you can look on your sheet. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to do this and practice this yourself for about 5 or 6 minutes. I'm going to get really quiet. I don't want it to feel awkward for you, but just walk through this psalm together. I'm going to read it, these 6 verses together. This is a very familiar psalm to us, one that you've heard many, 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 many times in many different occasions. But I'm going to read through this and then just give you a few minutes to walk verse by verse, line by line, and just pray some of these thoughts to the Lord as they come, as you think through Psalm 23 and pray through Psalm 23. And then what I'll do is I'll close us out by also praying back through Psalm 23 for us together. But let me read this, and then I'll let you pray. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So I'm going to give you a few minutes to go back through and pray this on your own, and then I'll pray through this for us. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for allowing us to know you through your word, and for the opportunity to be able to pray back your word this evening, Lord. As Psalm 23 says, that Lord, the Lord is my shepherd, the Lord is our shepherd, I shall not want. Father, we thank you that you are the good shepherd, the great shepherd who leads us and guides us each and every day. You provide for us all that we need. We know that there are many things in this world that are good gifts from you, but ultimately, Father, you are what we need truly. Help us to daily be reminded and pray that we'd rather have Jesus in silver or gold, that we would rather have you as our good shepherd, Father. We thank you for leading us, providing for us each day of our lives as the good shepherd. Father, we pray for our families. We pray that you would be the shepherd of our families. Our families would submit to you, Lord, that they would submit to your guidance and your leadership in their lives. Lord, we pray that for our church family as well, that we would be led by the good shepherd each and every day. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that Christ is the good shepherd, the one that laid down his life for the sheep to save us from our sins and to make us right with you. Lord, we thank you that you make us lie down in green pastures, that you lead us beside the still waters. Lord, you give us all that we need. You provide for everything in our lives. And we thank you for your provision. We thank you for your providence in our lives, that you care for us abundantly, Father. Help us to never forget to give you thanks for that, as our shepherd who loves us, who guides us, who provides for us, Father. Lord, you restore our souls. Lord, we know that you've restored our souls, first of all, by purchasing us and saving us in Christ, that Christ lived the life that we could not live and died in our place and was risen back to life to give us eternal life in you. So, Father, we thank you for that, but we thank you that even in our own Christian lives, our own Christian walk, Father, that you continue to restore our souls. When we find ourselves struggling with the remaining sin in our heart, Lord, your word reminds us to put it to death and to confess it to you, Lord. And through that confession and repentance, Lord, our souls are restored by your grace, by your mercy. I pray that we would be honest about our sins, Lord, so that we can be led in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Lord, we know that we are not saved by our own works, and we are also not sanctified by our own works, Father. It's by your grace, by your mercy. Lord, we pray that you would help us as your people to grow in holiness. We pray that we would be honest about our sins and confess it to you, Lord, to repent of it, to remember that that is the reason Christ died and rose back to life. Lord, we thank you that as you lead us in the paths of righteousness, it reminds us that you are always with us, that you are guiding us to holiness, Lord, ultimately for your name's sake, for your glory. Lord, I pray that that would be our chief aim in our lives, that we would glorify you, that we would put to death sin and pursue holiness to honor your name in this world, Father. Your word tells us that even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil, for you are with us. Your rod, your staff, they comfort us. Lord, we know that although we've been saved for those who've trusted in Christ, that we still remain and live in a fallen and broken world. A world that is full of suffering, death, affliction, sin, sickness, illnesses, disease. Father, we live in a world that causes us great anxiousness and fear, that we face troubles each and every day. Lord, it's often in our lives that we have walked through the valley of the shadow of death. But even in the midst of that valley, Father, we thank you that you don't leave us or forsake us, that you are with us in the valley, Father. Therefore, we have no reason to fear evil. Help us not to be afraid wherever we find ourselves in life, Father. Help us to trust in you. Help us to remember that you are with us as your people. You will never leave us nor forsake us. You are guiding us with your rod and your staff, and Lord, they bring us great comfort. Lord, your word tells us that you prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. You anoint our head with oil, our cup overflows. But we know that there are many in this world that oppose us, reject us, are against us because we are in Christ, because we've been saved and redeemed by you, Lord. We know that Christ himself was rejected. We know that the world hates us because it first hated Christ, and yet we're called to live here in the presence of many enemies, Father. And we thank you that you are with us in the midst of that, Father. But we thank you for the reminder that we have the blessing of coming to your table. That one day that we will be at the marriage feast of the Lamb forever and ever. And we've been invited to the table by your grace and mercy, and because of the work of Christ. Lord, your word continues to remind us that goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. And we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It can be easy to forget, Lord, that goodness and mercy, your loving kindness, your faithful love is with us each and every day. Well, we go through all kinds of different situations in our lives, and we can tend to forget that, but your word reminds us that every day your goodness and mercy is with us, leading us and guiding us. So, Father, help us to remember that. Help us to take comfort in that, Lord. And, Lord, as wonderful as it is to walk with you in this life, oh, we look forward to the day that we will dwell in your house forever, that we will no longer experience pain or suffering or sin or crying or mourning or sickness or war or famine or death. And all things will be made right, and all things will be made new, Father. And us who are your sheep, who have been bought by the Good Shepherd, purchased by the Good Shepherd, will be with you forever. Lord, we long for that day. And until that day comes, Lord, we pray that it would encourage us to live for you and trust in you each and every day of our lives. But we thank you that you are a good shepherd that loves us and cares for us. In Christ's holy and precious name we pray. Amen.